Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 260. This is the Winter Snowpocalypse pre-podcast.
Yeah, pre-Snowpocalypse right. 2 then apparently.
Yes, sorry. We're down two people because out of fear of snow, so.
Which if you could look through the little holes in the microphone, you'd see there's absolutely no snow.
Well, but there's a possibility of snow in the area.
It's a possibility I could be a millionaire, anything but I don't see possible. That happening.
Dave did say he's also just getting over a cold, so he said it would be best for the listeners not to have to hear. So, what Adam's excuse is, I don't know.
He just said he didn't want to risk it.
He just doesn't like us. He lives very far away.
I know.
And he's a clown car.
Right, and if he gets stuck in the snow, he can just pick it up and carry it. So that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, but that's just that, quarter inch of snow will get stuck.
True. Fair enough. But... So I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Pat.
That's it. Tim's here, but he's not joining
us.
Yeah, because... But he's here. He's wearing a very nice shirt again today, as always.
Thanks.
Tim has the best collection of t-shirts.
Well, apparently. He spent a small fortune on them.
How much have you spent on your t-shirts?
The main company that I order my
shirts. What company?
Fright Rags.
Fright Rags, okay.
I checked my order history one day just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
And this is over the course of several years.
Yeah.
I spent $2,000.
Whoa! What's your cost?
But even at $20 a t-shirt, that's a lot.
Yeah, what's your cost per t-shirt?
A lot of them are like $18, but there's always...
She's getting a lot of shirts.
That's still 100 shirts, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said, that was over like 6 or 7 years, but still... I felt bad when I saw the total.
Tim, Josh and I cannot judge what you spend your money on with the amounts of money.
Yeah, but at least he can wear his shirts. I can't wear my Star Trek ships.
Part of where this came about was a customer asked me how much he had spent here, if there was any way I could...
Why would they want to know that?
Exactly, and I said, well, if you want... Yes, I found out by accident that I can, so I did, because his wife was, I bet you spent X amount,
man.
And he'd actually spent... He's like, there's no way I spent that amount. He was a little bit over, yeah.
So don't tell us the customer.
Yeah, no.
But what was the amount that he thought he spent?
She said $2,000.
And he thought?
Couldn't possibly be that much.
Okay, and what sort of time frame?
He started here, 2015, I think.
Okay, so what was the actual number?
$2,500.
In 2 years. Yeah.
Well, the first year was only like $300 and some. The problem was last year he went all in on Civil War and wanted every tie-in and everything, and I'm going to say that's probably a good
book.
And then little things. He bought a very expensive hardcover, which certainly played a big role.
So
in it, but.
I'm saying this now on record on the podcast. If me or my wife ever come to you asking you to do this for us...
I have no way of doing that, yes.
Do not... No, you can say you can. I'm instructing you now. Do not give me that information or my wife.
Yes.
Sure.
No matter what, even if I'm pleading with you saying, Colin, no, I need to know how much, just don't do it.
Yeah.
Throw a brick through the computer and I'll buy you a new computer.
Because I'm like, that's something you don't want to know. It's like asking you how much have you spent.
You already bought him several.
I would, if I could go back in time, I wouldn't have checked the t-shirt thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's the worst.
It made me feel really bad.
Yeah.
So, I used to play like online games, like World of Warcraft, EverQuest. And the worst thing you could possibly do is check to see your time played in these games.
Yes and no. No, I hear what you're saying. I have Civilization 4 on my computer. They've come out with 5
six
and 6
out,
just
yeah.
came out.
I didn't know you played Civ.
Yeah, I love Civ. I played since 1.
I have a group that plays sometimes.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. But I got 5 and I didn't like it at all.
I love 5.
See, I don't like 5.
The expansions made it a whole lot better.
Okay, but the main 5, I didn't like the movement. I didn't like everything. Maybe my computer was too slow, but it just took forever to do things. So I just continually play 4. Because then I was able to, for my Mac, I was able to go back and buy it. And so it's through Steam and everything.
Yeah.
But it does have that little time played. And I kind of like it, only in the sense, I'm like, I spent $50, yet I have played for 175 hours. And most of the time, it's late at night, watching TV, just,
You can sink a lot of time into games like that, but like the online RPGs, MMORPGs, there's a lot of just grinding to get levels and get materials for things and fighting in groups like raids.
Mm-hmm.
So you sink a lot of time in, and when you look, like over the course of the time you played,
right.
it can be like days, and it really is disheartening when you...
One of my friends got divorced because of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it's...
Tim. I'm saying please join in.
He doesn't
want
to be on
I don't
the
want
podcast.
Them not to be able to hear
one
you.
One of Tim's friends got divorced of World of Warcraft.
Yeah. No, I just want them to be able to hear you, Tim. That's all. But yeah, no, so I kind of enjoyed it. It's like, okay, I've definitely made my money. You know, it's been worth every penny I sent. And it was funny because I asked another friend, the guy who's the DM on our campaign, if he got Civ 6 yet. And he said, no, he's waiting for me to get it to review it for him.
I'm waiting for it to be on sale for like on one of
that's
the
that's
kind of
what
sales.
I'm looking because and also I'd rather buy the full package at a discount. Yeah, I am not cutting edge.
But
I don't
Civ,
need things the
Civ
first 5, time.
Civ 5 we played a ton of. And the space one that came after it, Beyond Earth.
Okay.
Because I had, I remember way back when, Sid Meier came out with Alpha Centauri.
Yeah, I liked Alpha Centauri.
I loved Alpha Centauri.
It's funny, on the laptop that I have, I was able to load that and play it.
Yeah,
but,
I still have it too.
But no, I'd like to.
But this was kind of like a spiritual successor to that.
Okay, yeah, there were the mechanics I did not care for. Okay, wow.
Let's do a Civilization podcast.
Yeah. Who's your favorite leader? What's your favorite country?
I actually Poland a lot in Civ 5.
There's no Poland in 4.
They came with one of the expansions, but they have some good abilities.
Cool. I normally play random and see what pops up.
Gandhi's always a douche.
Yeah.
In the game, not in real life.
No,
was
no,
great.
No. I used to always play America just because.
I was very tempted to talk about Gandhi the same way that Trump talked about Frederick Douglass, but then I stopped myself.
He does wonderful things. He's been dead for 100+ years.
So Pat.
Yeah.
I didn't really pay any attention to news, so.
Yeah, I just pulled up Bleeding Cool right now to see if
I haven't seen a whole lot. The one thing I did see, and I saw this in a couple different places, Bleeding Cool was one of them. I guess Marvel did their creative retreat.
Okay.
And one of the things that is kind of leaked coming from that is that they're going to go back to kind of the meat and potatoes, Marvel Universe. Wolverine will be back. Iron Man will be Iron Man, not Riri Williams.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that they'll take it as far as a rebirth, because that would be admitting DC was right. But I think they will.
And I'm happy for that, because I think that is what you guys, the customers, want.
Yeah.
My concern is they got to do it all in a rebirth kind of way to say we're serious. Because I think if they kind of tentatively, we're going to change this, and it's Kobik, and she's changing reality, and now Iron Man's back. I think people are going to be very tentative, and they might not come back. They kind of have one shot to restore faith.
I think the problem with that, though, is they're going to want to have another event. And
they can't
do
it in an event.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, I'm not going to invest 8 months into a six.
Well, they've already announced Secret Empire is a 10-part series starting loosely in April, really starting in May. So we're looking at least 5 months, even if they double ship it.
Yeah.
So that's my concern. So are we already looking? Nothing's going to happen until October, then the way things have gone, January, because it's going to finish 3 months late.
Yeah.
So. And, you know, as much as they are going to say, this one's not going to be late, this one's going to be on time, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Unless the first 8 issues are already in the can, I have no faith that they're going to get them out on time.
See, that's what's bothered me about Secret War, was that they announced it in January and said the first few were already done, and yet it was still ended 3 months late.
Right.
So I don't even know how much that helps.
Well, Secret Wars had so many different tie-ins as well, where, you know, some of the tie-ins didn't start until we were 5 issues into the damn miniseries.
Right.
For me, Secret Wars really killed any appetite I had on events.
Yeah, and not that it was a bad event, but it was just the fact that it finished so poorly.
It wasn't a bad event, but it wasn't a great event by any means.
No.
And the tie-ins were all kind of lame, at least ones I was reading. They just felt like they were...
The pitch was better than the product.
They didn't stand their own. They felt like they were just there to set up the next stage or next phase of things.
And then when things spun out of some of them and their attitude was kind of, well, you know, had you read this, like, you know, how many people read Squadron Sinister to spin Squadron Supreme out of it and things like that. So I think they do have a long way to go to restore trust, especially in an event. That's going to be a tricky one for them. Yeah, that's all I got on that.
I
certainly welcome it, you know, getting back, you know, meat and potatoes. That's what they need, because right now they're all side dishes.
I wouldn't say they're side dishes.
Appetizers?
Amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche. Mm.
Okay.
I know what he's talking about. We watch Top Chef, so
okay.
I know what he's talking about.
I don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a little taste in one bite. Mm-hmm. It's just a little simple bite.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I found they're all on Hulu. All the seasons are on Hulu because we missed a bunch.
Yeah.
We're watching the current one right now.
Yeah, that's one of those shows I've never, like, watched, you know, in order.
Okay. We started on season two, and we watched a good many of them.
But I find that anytime I'm looking for something, just something to watch, and it's on, I can put it on, and I'm perfectly content.
Yep. And that's what I do. I'd put on something like that, and then I'm sitting playing, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, Pat.
No, it's all right.
That's, or like Columbo, here. You know, it's like today I was struggling to find something to put on the TV just for background noise. I was trying to do the CW stuff, and the app kept freezing, and it was just very frustrating. That's how we ended up on Rockford Files, just because I knew...
Oh, okay.
Well, I knew it wouldn't be anything bad, because so many things, it's like, oh, this could be interesting, but, you know, it's rated, you know, M or whatever. You know, it's just like, oh, I better not. So, Rockford, I knew it was safe. And it was funny, people's reactions to the music. It's like, oh, this is music. It's familiar. What is this? It's like, it's kind of funny. Go to the comic book store to see Rockford Files. That's right.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of culture. It's okay.
Everyone
likes James Garner.
My mom loved James Garner.
I really liked the movie Maverick.
I did too. I know a lot of people hated that movie.
I loved it.
I thought it was perfect.
I loved it. It was great.
What was the one with Murphy's Romance? That was good too, with Sally Field.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. It's hard
to imagine Sally Field as a love interest.
Yeah.
But she was in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Burt Reynolds movies. And
Froggy. Or Frog, yeah.
But
from Smoking the Bandit.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, now you just... I don't say it, but okay.
Now she was Aunt May.
That's right.
Now we have a better Aunt May.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't.
Yeah,
have
but I have. Yeah, I. That's it's like Riverdale. You know, Archie and Ms. Grundy just shouldn't work in my head. It's creepy.
It's fine.
You watch it yet?
No.
Episode two was really good.
Was it?
It's just
really good.
I had really no desire to watch
it. Yeah, I'm with Pat. Like,
okay. I didn't know either, but I decided.
I keep hearing it's good.
That's the thing I heard. So I'm like, and especially. Tim and Adam were really talking up, so I went home and watched it that night, and I was really very pleasantly surprised.
And I'm sure if I gave it a chance, I would probably, you know, like it, but it's just that initial, you know, watch that first episode, cause every time I think about it, I'm like, I just don't care about any of these characters. Unless there's zombies and Francavilla art, I'm really interested.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, as it is, I'm watching Arrow and the two Flash, Flash and Legends and, you know, Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a lot
of comic book shows.
It's
and,
a lot.
Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, now
we're getting Black
I got,
Lightning on CW.
Well, yeah, that was...
In
We don't watch Gotham anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but that's... I thought that was interesting, because that was supposed to be a Fox show, and now it's moving over to... The CW, but first they're saying,
"Oh,
yeah, we have Powerless now."
Did anybody watch it?
I watched Powerless.
Okay,
was it?
So Powerless has a fantastic opening credit sequence.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Okay,
and it features comic books.
Yeah,
which is good.
Yeah, okay. And even like classic covers, and then they focus in on a character in the background,
mm-hmm.
and that's the act, and then they put the actor name
and
next to it.
Cool thing is that's the best part of the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think I had texted you guys, and there was like 10 minutes left, and I'm just like, this is not good. And it was funny, because right after I texted you guys, it was in a commercial break, I fell asleep. And then, so all of a sudden, then I wake up, and it's in the middle of some medical drama. I'm like, I don't even know how it ended, and I had to, luckily I could rewind, because it was, you know, with the cable box, you can go back. But it was just so funny, it was just, I don't know why, but my eyes just closed.
Yeah, so this show, the special effects look really
horrible.
Bad.
Horrible.
And they look so bad that I almost think that they did it on purpose to make it look super campy. Because with all the other shows...
It didn't need to look great, but they looked like someone from ITT did it. You know,
yeah, it's bad. Huh. It's,
and while they're at ITT,
it looks like it's someone's fan film that they submitted hoping to get an actual.
They went to high school with Vanessa Hudgens' cousin, she agreed to do it.
My thought is, because apparently the first episode actually aired at Comic Con, and then they completely redid it. That it got rushed. Because I'm thinking, like, that Starro little blurb, that was great.
Yeah, that was cool.
So maybe that was from the first one, and then some the other ones. But the villain in it was Jack-O-Lantern. There's no Jack-O-Lantern in DC Comics. That's a Marvel villain. So already I'm pulled out because that made no sense. There was no reason for it to be part of Wayne Enterprises other than be able to use that name. It was just...
So whenever they said that Alan Tudyk was playing Bruce Wayne's cousin, I was thinking, oh, maybe this isn't part of Wayne Enterprises. Maybe he just, you know, started his own lame company called Wayne Securities. But then they actually said it was part of Wayne Enterprises, and he's talking to Bruce Wayne.
And it's a poorly defined what they even do.
Yeah.
They make stuff, and their claim to fame was Joker Venom for the public.
The original concept was much more.
My concern is that maybe they got a letter from the Marvel lawyers.
Yeah, but
it was very damage control-y.
So before they had aired that original pilot at Comic-Con, this had been known. They were making this, you know, show with this concept for a long time. So I feel like if Marvel had an issue, that would have came up before they aired a pilot and got rid of the original showrunner, or he left, whatever happened, over the summer. But it's just frustrating because this show has a ton of, like, big name, you know, relatively big name people. So it should, by all accounts, be a funny, you know, show. But that first episode left a lot to be desired. So, we'll see where it goes.
I didn't have high hopes for it, and I guess I won't be disappointed.
Like, I liked everyone in it, but just the story was non-existent for that first episode.
You know, it's often, though, it's unfair to judge a show by its pilot. I mean, even though it was their second go at a pilot, it's still a pilot. If you look at most shows, they change a lot.
To judge a show or a book that quickly would be doing it a vegetative injustice.
We can't do that.
No, we can't. It's wrong.
So,
any other news?
Oh, no.
Richard Hatch passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Apollo. From the original Star Trek. Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, he was Apollo in the original one, and then he was in the newer one also.
Oh, was it? Okay.
As Tom Zarek. Like this, you know, terrorist revolutionary.
Okay. Yeah.
Ended up becoming, I believe he was elected president of the colonies at one point in the new one. But it was a shame. He was only 71. Colin said the other day that
I was laughing about there was that professor or somebody who was big in the 70s and stuff, and he was like 102 when he passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And then Adam's like, oh, that's okay. Yeah. If I made it to 102, I'd be thrilled.
I don't think I want to make it to 102.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, well, Betty
Well,
White's
I bet
90s,
if you're 101, you're
spry.
Hoping you make it to 102.
Stan Lee's in his 90s. He still gets around pretty well.
Yeah. But, you know, we don't know kind of what goes on behind the scenes. When your body's failing and, you know, you're pooping your pants and all that, I don't know that I want to live through those years again.
It's a warm, squishy feeling. And no one will judge you.
I guess.
No, I agree. At that point, unless there's some sort of medical innovations to, you know, drastically make things much more livable, then, yeah, that seems kind of too long. Very too long. All right, so.
So nothing else?
Nothing else, yeah.
You got a rant?
No, I don't have a rant.
Come on, we can't let things fall apart without Adam and Dave here, because I don't think that they... carry the show. Something.
Right.
You guys going to see the Lego Batman movie?
I will, but I don't know when.
Del and I definitely want to see it. She loses her mind every time the commercial plays. And
I can't stop laughing at it.
Well, every time it's the part where they're like, why'd you like one seat in this? Last time I checked, I only have one butt. She loses her mind.
There was the one where Robin's like, I even got my own theme song. Fly, Robin, fly.
Yeah.
I lost it. My wife's like, what are you laughing at? I was like, come here. Had to rewind it. Like, this is hilarious.
And they have big names in the movie.
Yeah.
Michael Cera's Robin.
Yeah.
I mean, not he's a huge name, but just
Zach Galifianakis is the Joker.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum is Superman. And,
yeah, bring, he's doing Superman
what's
again.
What's his face? Jonah Hill is doing Green Lantern again. Yeah. And in one of the clips that they showed, they had like a party at the Hall of Justice, and it had Gleek and Zane and Jenna and El Dorado were there and Apache Chief. I was like, perfect. Black Vulcan.
Yeah, we're definitely going to go see it. I think her and I and my brother will go. He got me for Christmas the Lego set for the new for the Batmobile in that movie.
Okay.
The Speedwagon.
I got the Joker's lowrider.
Oh, nice.
I got that for Christmas.
What'd you get, Colin?
For what, Christmas?
What Legos from the Batman movie did
any.
You get?
I didn't get any.
My wife was
trying
to. When's
the last time you built a Lego set?
You know, Deck was never really into it, so long time.
No, but just you. You never like Legos?
No. No. I mean, I did, but I mean, long ago, you know.
Okay. Were Legos a thing when you were a kid?
Yes.
I'm just asking a question. What's wrong with the question?
He had Lincoln Logs, the originals.
I had Lincoln Logs, originals. The originals. I had no Rector sets.
Lincoln made cut by the form.
Screw you guys.
You think that's funny, Tim? Are you laughing?
Tim's laughing, so that's a success for Pat and I.
Sorry, Colin.
So, any comments, editorials, rants, raves? No?
Not really, no. It's
what's going on in the
industry?
Kind of
a slow month so far.
Well, they also have their little show at Diamond. So, that's probably
holding. No.
It's not Diamond.
It's Comics Pro.
Comics Pro.
Different.
It's funny, I'm hesitant to even talk about it. I mean, I will. But I notice if I spend all day, like normally on Wednesday, it's like, hey, I won't see you next week. Next week, Wednesday, is like half a normal Wednesday because people don't come in, and I totally don't want that. So I really didn't say much about it today.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I just don't want... And next week is really, really good week of books. So looking forward to talking about that at the end. So I feel kind of bad because I won't have a chance to read most of it, and I'm not going to take them on a plane or anything.
So what are you looking forward to most at this year's Comics Pro meeting?
His whole day with Marvel that's now 2 hours.
Well, he'll have the round table with them still, right?
If they show up.
No, actually, no, that we're not doing that.
I knew that.
Yeah, hang on one sec. Sorry.
Just digging in?
Yeah, that's kind of
what
I like to do sometimes.
No, we're getting an hour and a half with Marvel, and then they're because of a scheduling conflict, they're not doing the round tables.
Scheduling conflict that they didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. I can't claim they don't have one, but it's just one of those. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, at least they're giving us an hour and a half.
We're going to do it, but then we remember we don't care about you guys.
Yeah. Sadly, it's more and more what it feels like.
Are you guys Amazon? Are you guys Books a Million? Do you buy hundreds of thousands of copies? No? Then I don't care.
It's starting to feel that way.
Starting to?
Well, I mean, no. But, I mean, yeah.
I heard talk that they are going to be making a big push to start signing a lot more of exclusive creators again.
Well, like they're probably, because they're seeing DC's doing it.
I heard that, but that's... We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, is someone going to sign an exclusive with Marvel to do another version of Inhumans?
I'm curious what happened with writers like Jeff Lemire, who suddenly, you know, stopped doing DC, was doing all this stuff for Marvel, and now his biggest Marvel books are coming to an end, and there hasn't been any announcement of him doing something else.
I don't want to talk about that.
What? Moon Knight coming to an end?
Yeah. Did you read Moon Knight this week?
Yeah, I did. Begrudgingly.
Moon Knight is really good.
It's really, really. It's with Vision now
off
the table.
It has, three more issues?
Yeah.
With Vision off the table, Moon Knight's probably... Well, I say Moon Knight's probably their best book, but that's the only Marvel book I'm reading, so... Yeah.
But no, I mean, it...
I say begrudgingly because I had to read it physically instead of redeeming the code.
Oh, you didn't talk about some of the new books Marvel announced. Just don't know.
What'd they announce?
Rocket.
We're getting a new Rocket number one.
But the current one is only at issue 2.
Correct. We're getting a new Rocket number one.
Is it an ongoing?
We're getting a new Rocket number one.
So why? What's going on with the current Rocket?
We're getting a new Rocket number one. We're getting a third.
Tell me about the current Rocket.
We're getting a third.
I am Groot.
What's this conspiracy?
We're getting a third Black Panther book.
A third Black Panther?
We did talk about that.
I know, but there were some other things
Black
announced.
Panther and a gang or
yeah.
crew?
Crew.
Black Panther
crew.
And a crew.
Yeah, because the King of Wakanda is big on
would
his
you,
crew.
Would three Black Panthers be considered a pride?
No, because it's lions, not panthers.
Yeah,
I figured the same thing applies.
I don't know
big
what
cats,
a I don't know what a group of panthers are. That is a viewer question. What
a
is
fist, a fist of Black Panther?
A fist.
Nice.
Of Black
solid.
So I don't. I know they announced a couple other things.
I don't pay attention because none of it was.
No, I would. What annoys me is it was interesting.
Did you see the cover for Rocket?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a knockoff of Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I guess what I'm looking forward to Comics Pro is, how do I say this nicely, not being here for a little while. It's kind of nice just to get away. Every time you need a break every once in a while. Getting away from family, getting away from just the store. Sometimes you get in a rut, and I'm in a rut right now. And so it's nice because I always...
This would be the one podcast episode that your family listens to.
No. But it's just nice. I mean, just...
Except
know,
for Maggie.
Yeah, Katie's 15. Yeah, Maggie makes me sad. But, you know, Katie's 15 and, you know, has a nice little attitude going and, you know, deck's sweet. But, you know, just getting away for a little bit. But I do normally come back recharged, you know, new ideas, a little
for
more
a week.
Excitement. Yeah, for a week. Until somebody
then he
pisses
has,
me off.
Yeah, that doesn't take
He gets
off.
Really elevated, which means he has further to fall whenever yeah. someone aggravates him.
But, you know, talking, seeing my friends, you know, the people I see once a year.
Twice a year. Comics Pro and then Diamond.
But it's not always the same people.
No.
And...
Is Dan going?
No.
No?
No.
Is he
actually,
part of Comics Pro?
No. Yeah. No, I tried to get him to join. He just hasn't. Like, Jermaine will be there, but the guy I was rooming with isn't, can't make it now, so.
What about Dalian?
No. No. Nor Dave. Todd's going. But just, it's nice to talk, you know, talk to people who are having the same problems, you know, and it's funny, even just like on the message board, the one best thing that they did was this Facebook message group. It used to be like a pure message board, like on Delphi.
Mm-hmm.
And the Facebook is a lot better, and just because it's a little more casual, and it's just kind of fun seeing people having the exact same problems. And also now I'm on a couple retailer message boards on Facebook. And it was just fun, people talking about the New America book and people talking about how much they're missing the incentives by. And, you know, one guy going, hey, I'm only 45 copies short of hitting the 1 in 50 variant on this. And a lot of comments like that. It's like, okay, so I'm not alone looking at this going, yeah. I don't see the market, and maybe it's just me. And
I mean, that book, again, I think that book can sell in certain markets.
Right.
I don't think Pittsburgh is one.
No. And, again, without any real lead into it. But... it's just fun talking to your contemporaries, the people who are seeing the same problems, are hearing...
Yeah. You're in Miami Comics? I'll bet you could sell a hell out of that book.
Probably. Oh.
I'll bet you Ryan Higgins won't have a problem selling that book.
And I bet, you know,
yeah.
stores that are
Maybe.
In, like, heavy college areas in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Dan might be able to sell that a little bit better.
Yeah, and Southside, you know, Bill and Walsh downtown... I'm not sure what's in Oakland. Is there Phantom in Oakland still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, none of those guys go. Roy out at Phantom in Monroeville goes sometimes. But yeah, it's just nice to see, you know, see these people relax. You know, it's not, you know, you kind of, you know, you're told where to go and, you know, there's not a whole lot of, you know, thinking involved.
What's your mission while you're out there for me?
What?
You want to drink.
Oh, yeah, you want a shot glass. Yeah, that's
right.
Trust me, that won't be a problem.
Valiant shot glass?
Mm-hmm. I have one for every other year.
It'll probably be an XO, would be my guess. That's really their next big thing.
Yeah, so far it's been Ninjak.
Especially because I think we have an FOC to yet.
Rye,
so.
Eternal Warrior.
4001
AD.
Yeah.
Probably XO.
Yeah, that'd be my guess. But, yeah, seeing those guys, seeing the publishers, hearing what's coming up, seeing which ones have stuff that people are, you know, that they're excited about. So, yeah, and, you know, hearing the stuff. What does Marvel have planned? What is DC? I mean, if you think about it, last year was the first we heard of Rebirth. And so that was really, really interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, how'd
that
work out for you?
It worked out great.
I'm curious to hear what DC has to say to you guys about, you know, what they feel, or how they feel Rebirth has done this first year.
I know that there was... some complaints that a lot of books got returned.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I mean, I returned a lot, but it was more like
It made sure you had copies on the shelf to sell. I mean, who would have thought Aquaman was going to sell 40 books a month?
Right. But it made me order more Batman Beyond and more Blue Beetle and more Cyborg than I needed because those didn't do as well. But I'm also finding right now, sadly, some of the stuff I returned I need and can't get because it's sold out of some stuff. Like, had a real big resurgence in Supergirl, people interested in the Supergirl book that I had returned, and I can't get number one and number two anymore.
I wonder what caused the spike in
that. I don't know, because the show's been on the whole time, so it's not that, so I don't know. Red Hood and the Outlaws has seen an upswing lately, and who knows why.
Red Hood is a really good book. But I mean, it's been an interesting book since the beginning, so...
So you know, certain creators who are spouting off on the failure of DC Rebirth, and also complaining about, you know, saying that the lower price is a failure and all this stuff. It's like,
I've gotten not an argument, but
yeah, discussion. I intentionally stayed away. But I mean, it's just always good to, you know, hear what they have to say. You know, see them, talk to them. You know, and again, you know, see my friends.
And there are some creators there.
I don't know. There were the last couple of years in Portland, but Portland is very creator heavy.
Oh, that's true. Uh-huh.
So
it's in Memphis this year.
It's in Memphis, and I don't know. They haven't really announced anybody going to be there, so I don't.
On your last day, you have to get some brisket.
Yeah, I probably
will. Your last day.
I probably will. We'll see, because I was telling you last week that, or before, you know, I have a 7 a.m. flight out of there, so. I'm not going to say I'm going to go to bed early, but I'm certainly not going to stay up late having to get up early. Yeah. So,
I'm sure you can get brisket for breakfast. You'd be all right.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so I'm
brisket
just...
brisket hash?
That'd be good. So yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to going. And, you know, I get a little free time to read, which I do enjoy. I have one book I definitely hope to get through, hopefully on the way down, and I can read some stuff on back. It's a book called Why We Buy. By Paco Underhill. And I think reading it again will, because I remember the first time I read it was eye-opening, so, and it's been a couple years now, so I should probably give it another read. I also realized I never finished it when I looked at where the bookmark was. I'm like, you know what, I don't think I ever finished this. Made it most of the way through.
Most.
That's not a very convincing recommendation.
No. It was a really good book, but I remember I was reading it at the pool. We were going to the Cansburg pool that summer.
Which did you, percentage-wise, which did you get through more of? Powerless or...
Oh, I made it all the way through. Well, about the same, if you want to consider. Yeah, I probably have like 10% of the book to finish, but I'm going to start over at the beginning. So I'm going to bring that, and I don't, you know, something else. I was going to bring previews, but I always hate lugging that around because it is, it's big. It's big and heavy. Yeah, so that's all. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to sneaking away.
What you got going on in the store, then?
Nothing. We'll see if Tim always has free reign. He probably doesn't know this, but if I'm not here...
Oh, yeah, you were here last year, were you?
Well, he was here last year, but it was Dan. He was helping out Dan. They were kind of tag-teaming it. Tim has free reign to run whatever kind of promotions he wants. I will never say no. So
pick ones that Pat and I like, Tim.
Yeah. 75% off all.
Yeah.
He can run 75% off all Marvel books, and I'll bet you he won't sell one.
Well, it was funny. Dan down at Southside Comics did a thing where if you bought, he had, I want to say it was 16, 12 or 16 books of the Marvel Overship books on a table, and saying, buy two and get the other 10 or 14 for free.
10 or 14?
Yeah, I forget exactly what it was. He had, the last I heard, he had two takers.
Oh, if you did that, I would. Yeah. I mean, if I'd known, I would have went to the store and got some. Books are free books.
No, I mean, you're paying $8 for those.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying that they don't have good books out right now. I've just been burned by their shenanigans, and with Civil War II, I had zero desire to get roped, like pay $4 a book and get roped into the shenanigans, but...
No, I mean, and that's why I'm sticking to books that stay the hell out of the main Marvel universe.
But if it was some crazy sale, like, you know, 16 books for $8, then I would get engaged in the shenanigans of books being roped into Civil War II.
Yeah. Oh, and then I mentioned I had that little display with them half off, and nobody's even interested at $2 a piece, so...
No. And it's also hard. None of them are number ones.
They're
all.
Well, no, they're all. It's all number ones.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like the number fours and the number eights or whatever that they were, because yeah, they overshipped all their books by 10%. So.
And you still have your Image Comics month.
Yeah, it's still going Image on? Month going on. So for their celebrating their 25th anniversary, Josh is enjoying the Image 25th variant covers.
Yeah, Black Science didn't have one though.
No, sorry. Yeah. But yeah, so it's double points
East
on all
the
Image
stuff.
East
to West had a good one, and Deadly Class had a good one last week.
Well, and I enjoyed the Wicked and Divine one where they were mocking the fourth printing of Sex Criminals number one, where it was Fraction and Zdarsky.
See, I didn't look at
cover.
It. Yeah. I'll have to check it out, because there was a different cover for that that I really liked. So.
Yeah, three covers for that one.
How do you order that?
I only ordered like two or three of the Image variants, because who knows? And the problem is, those are books that I know my number's really good on, so any I'm ordering only going to cannibalize, like, the main cover.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be left with extra main covers. So, but it's really hard to order less main covers, because you don't know, and you don't, and sadly, on a lot of these, you know, it's like holds or sales that I know plus one copy, so I can't cut that by three.
Sorry.
So you see. The other thing we have the book club coming up at the end of the month on the 24th, where we're doing book The club. Valiant. So I did message Andy Legal, who did the TV show, the interview, just to say, hey, we're doing this. If you have any extra Valiant stuff, The Valiant stuff laying around.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'll talk to him.
Did he respond?
No, he did not respond. Not a big thing. It was a Facebook message. I sent the link. But I'll talk to him when I'm down there. I just got my EXO Man of War display. I didn't put it up yet because I don't quite know, a big standy. I don't know where to put it.
I figured that's what was
in the box. Yeah, I just don't
know. What's in the box?
I don't know where to put it, so.
Put it where you had Archer Armstrong.
Yeah, but it was just kind of in the middle of the room. Yeah, well, he already has, which he took one home.
He took Archer Armstrong.
Okay. And you have what, the Valiant, I think you took.
I have the Valiant.
Yeah. So I wonder who took Harbinger Renegades?
Not I.
Okay, I don't remember.
Did your other Valiant guy, the one that won...
Kevin, I don't know. I don't remember.
Was he the one, Bastos? He's the one that won the
year long? Yeah.
I almost feel like that Renegades one might be in the basement.
Oh, really? It might be. Maybe. So I have more copies coming in on Thursday, so the day you're hearing this. I ordered 10 more copies. So if you're interested, sorry, I ran out. Honestly, last week I forgot to order more in.
So the way the book club will work, it's going to be Friday, February 24th. 7 p.m.
BYOB.
Seven p.m. tentative start date or start time.
I just don't like to do stuff in the store while we're open because setting up a table in the middle of the store is tough.
Probably be recorded for a podcast episode.
That's the idea, but if we have as many people as I think we're going to have, it might not work.
Yeah. If you are interested and you haven't done so already, just to give us an idea of numbers, go onto the website and sign up through the sign up form.
But you don't have to. You know, you can certainly sign up without coming. It's not required.
You can sign up without coming?
You don't have to come.
You mean if you sign up and you can't come?
No, but you can't come if you don't sign up. You're more than welcome to come.
Oh,
you don't
have
to sign up.
You can come regardless, but we would appreciate if you sign up so that we have an idea of the numbers.
Yeah,
that's
I don't want to be to worry. Oh, I don't want to make the commitment. Oh, I didn't say I was coming. I can't
And if you sign up and something comes up, you don't have to show up still.
You already bought the books.
But... that's the other thing. If you have a copy of the book already, but you want to participate, you don't have to buy another copy of the book.
Nope.
It's not that kind of club. And if you sign up, the one thing we put up there asking for recommendations for future books for the book club, because we want to do this a monthly thing, mm-hmm. right?
Right. But I need to know, so I can definitely announce early March, so that
that's
get
what
the books
hoping,
in and stuff.
Which have
so,
people
yeah.
have people when they signed up been putting in recommendations?
Somebody did, and I didn't realize you had asked that, and there was a comment. I think Nick Vayansky may have offered some things. I'm like, okay, why are you telling me this? So I didn't realize that was something.
I put I Like Turtles for my additional description, but you didn't even say anything about it.
Sorry, I didn't see that.
He doesn't read this website.
He asked me to put up a form, and then he doesn't even look at the results. He gets...
he doesn't like turtles.
Why? I don't know why I bother, Pat.
I don't know either.
Herm.
All right, well, that's a podcast.
Okay. No. So that's it. Yeah, no, I don't have anything else to rant or talk about. Yeah, just lots of good books coming out, lots of stuff. I just ran, saw how I did on JLA, and it was weird, because I didn't automatically pull it for anybody. I guess I probably should have pulled it for everybody that was getting the old JLA series, but I didn't automatically pull it for anybody.
I've officially
dropped Justice League now that JLA is out.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, and I'm looking, and the sales numbers weren't great yet. I mean, it was not the busiest of Wednesdays I've ever had.
I picked it up. You picked
it up. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I read it, and it was very much a rebirth
book. I want a Justice League book.
Yeah.
And even though it doesn't have the main Justice League characters, that'll count.
But when you read it, realize it is a rebirth book, which is setting things up, because there's not a lot of story to it. It's more of a meet the team type of book.
Which, how necessary was that, since they just did all those rebirth?
Not so much meet the team, but a case of grouping them, bringing them together on a mission, on a goal. That was kind of touched on a little bit at the end of Justice League Suicide Squad, but certainly not with all of them. The recruiting of the Atom was very interesting. That was kind of fun. Because it was Batman and Lobo in Ray Palmer's lab looking for him, and then Ryan Choi comes in, and they're kind of like, "Who the hell are you? And why do you have his belt?" And so that was kind of
enjoyable. When you got Lobo and Batman, who plays good cop and who plays bad cop?
It's all bad cop.
Yeah,
bad cop, worse cop. Forward to reading that, then.
There you go. No, it was good. I enjoyed it. The one person they didn't really talk about, Black Canary, is also on the team. She wasn't in the Justice League Suicide Squad and didn't have a one-shot.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Well, she didn't need a one-shot because she, well,
it's just, she's all over the place. She's with Green Arrow right now in his book. She's with the Birds of Prey, in that book.
Yeah.
She's with JLA.
She's a joiner. That's what
These books do not take place at the same time.
She was an orphan. She needs to belong, so she's a joiner. That's what it is.
Yeah. I like her in Green Arrow. Mm-hmm. You okay?
I am. The medicine's kicking in.
Oh, no, okay. He's already loopy.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah,
sorry. 9:08 yet.
No, it has nothing to do with that. Yeah, so what do you guys read?
I guess I'll start.
Okay.
Sadly...
Nothing.
The last issue of Archer and Armstrong.
That was sad. I tweeted Valiant about my sadness.
Oh, right. I saw that. And Rafe Roberts responded. I was going to respond back saying, suck up. But,
it was. I'm sad to see that the book ended, but I thought that the finale was perfect.
Yes.
For that series.
Yeah, the whole series has been very madcap and fun.
Yeah.
And this certainly lived up to it at the end. And clearly it ended in a way in which we know we'll get another A&A series at some point in time.
Yeah.
It was very obvious, and even winks at the end. Yeah. So you know they'll be back. It was an appropriate ending for the book.
Yeah, and the book, like...
Except... For one, the stuff with Mary Murray.
Yeah, I was... That bummed me out, too, because I really liked where they took the sisters and her being the leader of them and then being kind of on the outs and separate, you know, sub-faction of them. And I felt like that was kind of just glossed over with the little throwaway at the end where Archer called Armstrong for help because something happened, you know, and he was dealing with them. So... I wish there was more of a closure for them. Although I guess the last issue we saw with them, they kind of had some pretty big comeuppance.
Yeah. And it did. And I think the problem was when I read that, I didn't realize that this issue was going to be the last issue.
Yeah.
So it was, it doesn't end here. What happens next? Yeah.
I feel like that could almost be a separate book.
Yeah.
Like, I could see that being some sort of mini-series or whatever, just focusing on that section. Yeah. Also, there wasn't a whole lot with, like, or wasn't anything really with, like, Davey the Macro or anyone in this. Now, we had the dude end up back in the bag.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we saw that he actually belongs there, and he's what brings order to the bag's chaos, and that's... Instead of thinking it was a prison, he now thinks it was like his kingdom.
But
there's so many. This book gave us so many unique and interesting you know, ancillary characters that it would have been hard, I guess, to try and give all of them a
Proper send-off. Gub.
So I love that ending. I suspected this stuff with his wife.
Yeah.
That she, you know,
she was a god.
That she actually was still, you know, looked youthful and beautiful, but she was just putting on a show. The Gub thing, I didn't expect that he was still being possessed by that alien creature after their whole, I don't say seance, but ritual they had.
I did like when he was still in Archer's body and he was fighting, and how in all the previous ones it would have, you know,
the martial arts style. And
Gub Gub. Thought that was pretty good.
It was funny. Kevin Bastos, after I named it, he said, "Man, had I known, I would have come to the podcast if I known you were talking about Gub Gub."
We don't know until
I named the podcast.
Will you be my Gub Gub? Yeah. We don't know until we're in the middle of it.
Yeah. But I found that funny. Yeah.
But it was just, you know, we found out that he was just pretending to still be, you know, Gub Gub. There was still that alien creature possessing him. And after they all went away, he turned to Armstrong's wife, and she was like, "All right, we can drop the act now. What do you really want with me?" Mm-hmm. So. But a lot of, like, it tied up a lot of things, but also opened up a lot of pathways for where the story can continue.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Which is cool.
The Walking Dead.
I kind of read that. I flipped through it a little more than I read it.
Yeah. So, you know, quarter issue.
It was definitely worth a quarter. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
It was a regular issue that had stuff happen.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed because with it being the start of a new arc, there really wasn't anything that jumped out cliffhanger-wise. The last issue, there was a herd of thousands of walkers coming, and so they're trying to lure them away, and, you know, meat bags get devoured, because that's what happens.
Meat bags.
You know, and you have people from the sanctuary kind of looking on, saying, you know, okay, well, once they're through with this, they'll be weak, let's attack them. And that's been kind of telegraphed through the last probably five or six issues. The alliance is kind of breaking down. The kingdom obviously has problems because Ezekiel was killed, and now you have the problems with the sanctuary because Dwight left, and he was really the only one with close ties to Rick. Although there was some stuff there with Negan where, you know, Negan saves Rick's life. So, you know, who knows, maybe Negan will get put back in charge of the sanctuary. That may be where they're taking it, I don't know. But it's, you know, it's The Walking Dead. It's probably not in the best place creatively that it's been, but it's still a decent book.
The book, but it seems like it's just the same formula over and over and over again.
It is pretty formula. Yeah.
So, at what point do they just say, you know, end it while it's still on a high note, rather than keep dragging out the exact same conflict just with different players every time?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what it's always been, though.
At some point, people are going to say, I've had enough of this, nothing changes.
Well, I think the problem is, you know, if you take a look at Batman, Batman's great because his villains are great. The Governor was good. Negan, I really liked as a villain, but, you know, look at what he did. How do you top that? Like, you know, well, what's this next guy going to do? Is he out there raping zombies? I mean, you know, like, how do you get worse than beating people to death with a barbed wire bat?
Yeah.
So I don't know where else they really take it from that point. Because at this point, you're looking at it. You know, guys or third stringers are now stepping up to be leaders of these other places. And, you know, I guess that could be, you know, a civil war just amongst the different communities. But, again, I don't know how interesting that would be. Moon Knight.
Moon Knight was very good.
Yes.
I was on the fence about buying it because of
Marvel,
the digital code changes. I did manage to read it without
smudging
getting any sort of fingerprints on the cover or whatever, so that was a plus.
You laid it flat on the table, put on your gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
I was very torn about buying it last week. I almost put it back and just waited until, you know, it was on sale digitally, just because I really am against this stupid change. I feel like it's highway robbery from the charge $4 for those books. And the codes they put in there are garbage. And this week's, from what I saw, are not any better.
I didn't look to see what was this week's. But
there is something in Race Folder.
It's another Civil War code.
Pick your time.
I think some sort of tie-in, maybe. Yeah. I think it's only two codes this time.
Okay.
I'm going to grab one of the books and see, because I only get one Marvel book a month, so I...
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting two.
But I get every fourth set of codes.
Oh. Okay. So in Moon Knight, it mostly deals with Mark Spector's history. It starts, he's a teenager right when his father dies. He had been...
He'd been having mental issues before that.
Right, and that's the issue before, he had basically developed, probably around 9 or 10 was when he first started developing the this dissociative identities. And so now he goes home because there's a funeral for his father, and of course, it starts with, he's talking to his mom, and, you know, dad hated me. No, your father didn't hate you. He wanted you to get better. And in the middle of that conversation, he has an episode and switches personalities, and, you know, that, of course, goes poorly.
So real quick, this week the codes...
Oh, they tell you what the codes are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right there. The codes for this week, it's the first...
Now, these are classic Marvel...
Yeah, classic. The first issue in the following collections. Invincible Iron Man, Volume 3, Civil War 2, Premier Hardcover... I don't know why they bother saying premiere hardcover. I guess it's just telling you what it is.
Yeah.
All new, all different Avengers, Volume 3, Civil War 2, and Cloak and Dagger, Shadows and Light trade. So, who cares about the first issues of those? And Marvel... I hate to keep sounding like a broken record, but for Marvel to say that we're doing this to help retailers, because once people get that taste, they'll come in here and buy the collections,
right.
you're nuts. People will redeem those and then see if they liked it. They'll see buy next digitally and just buy it. It's not going to help
none
you
of the
at all.
Civil War lead-in or tie-in books are that good.
Like, just be straight about it. Don't try and act
if
like
you're
it's...
Gonna, I mean, at least the Cloak and Dagger because of the TV show. Sorry. And that's older. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to do classic, do the first issue of Infinity Gauntlet. Do, you know, some of their bigger ones. Not.
Yeah, I just... I think that's what
Iron Man Volume 3?
I think that's what burns me the most, just them trying to spin it as if they're doing you a favor. I mean, call a spade a spade. It's you were just trying to promote this other garbage. It's not helping you out at all.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to Moon Knight. But it shows him when he joins the Marines and he gets kicked out of the Marines because they find out he has the personality disorder. And, you know, he gets home and... that's where he runs into Frenchie, which is another one of his personalities. So,
Frenchie was the his assistant.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but earlier in the Moon Knight series, it made it seem like it was part of his.
It wasn't one of his personalities, but he was hallucinating about having him, there.
Oh, okay.
See, I took that as everybody in his life from that point.
No, I
was a figment of his imagination. It didn't necessarily have to be part of his identities. You know, it's not like Mark Spector or Jake Lockney or Mr. Knight, but him and Gina and Crawley were figments of his imagination.
Yeah, see, I didn't take it that way. I took, in that moment, they were figments of his imagination, but I think he was, they were based off of people that he actually
and
knew.
That could be. And that's why I like this series so much, is because...
Open to interpretation.
Yeah, it really is, and you know, it draws a lot on his
history.
No,
it truly is a great series.
So I'm sad to see this only has 3 issues left, but it has been a really good series.
Yeah.
Batman.
I love this issue. Because this issue perfectly blended a serious story with a very fun, you know, tone and elements into it. Like, it starts off, you know, kind of serious and ends kind of serious, but in the middle, it's just, it's so much fun and goofy, but everything is done well. Like, Bruce is still, you know, straight-faced and, you know, just business as usual, but
everybody else is clowning.
Essentially, what happens is they are at a Batburger, and they're there because he wanted to meet with the whole team, and they told him that they wanted to meet there because they're tired of just meeting, like, in the cave or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's him and Nightwing and Damian and Jason Todd and Duke. But just the interactions with all of them.
Where they were all talking down to Damian, and he was getting mad.
They
and
made Damian get a Happy Meal.
Yeah, instead of getting him a regular meal, they got him a Happy Meal.
So then he said, well, fine, I'll take the toy. And he said, no, the toy's mine. And he opens it up, and it's a Red Hood action figure.
But he's making comments on Jason's hairline.
Yeah.
It was hilarious because, well, first, as he's ordering, Bruce is getting pissed off because one of the things is, would you like your fries jokerized with a special salt?
Yeah.
And he's like, Joker's a maniacal kid. It's like, settle down, Bruce. Like, the entire menu was hilarious. But, and the guy's dressed as Batman.
There's a girl dressed as Wonder Woman behind the counter.
But, and then when Batman brings his meal over, he pulls out a knife and fork.
To cut his burger
and
in half.
Duke is sitting there going, is that how he eats a hamburger?
He's like, is this really happening right now?
Yeah.
So those were fun, but it was
interesting. And then Dick makes a comment about, like, Alfred. That's, him being raised by
and
Alfred.
They made a point of, him basically telling them, Bane is coming and I don't want you guys getting involved. I don't want anything to happen to you. And Duke pretty much going, okay, no problem. I won't get involved.
And then the other one's saying, so we're not going to listen to that, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and there was some joke about all the Robins died. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what Robins do. And it's like, well, Todd died, and Damian died, and Dick didn't die. And Duke's like, well, I'm not a Robin.
It was a real change of pace. I can't remember ever a humorous Batman issue before.
This was a perfect balance. More of this.
Yeah, so that was good.
Green Lanterns.
I didn't finish Green Lanterns. I started reading it last night, and I was tired and meant to finish it today.
Okay.
It wasn't starting off strong for me, though, so I think that's why I kind of, be that plus being tired.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird issue. It was, so Batman brings them to Gotham, and it's both Simon and Jessica, because people are basically succumbing to fear, and they're attacking each other. And, you know, Simon shows up. Well, it's obvious it's a Scarecrow. To which Batman says, no, it's Sinestro, because he can't be in 12 places at once. And they get into that argument, well, how do you know? Because I'm a detective. And then there's a problem because Simon carries a gun.
That part seemed just forced to me. Other people said they liked it. It seemed out of place.
Well, that's the thing. That's not the first time Batman's seen Simon Baz have a gun.
Yeah, I mean, they're on the Justice League together, and then having Commissioner Gordon chime in saying, well, you're committing a crime if you don't have an open carry permit. It's like, what are you talking?
He's a vigilante. He's already committing a crime.
I mean, he has a power ring on, and you're suddenly giving him a hard time with an open carry permit?
Yeah, that was a bit ridiculous. So in the end, we find out they're both right, because it is a Scarecrow, but somehow he has Sinestro-esque powers. He's wearing the Sinestro symbol on the front of his shirt, and he was part of the Sinestro Corps in Blackest Night. So,
I never read that.
No, that's a really.
I never read it, and Colin had a sale of trades outside one day.
And
like,
you were missing
probably
number one?
Well, no, there's the trades.
There's two volumes of Blackest Night, three volumes of Brightest Day.
Okay. Well, he had the first trade.
Okay.
And I was going to grab it, and I was looking at something else, and you ended up grabbing it.
Okay.
And buying it. Then I went back, and you had it in your hand. I was like,
okay.
Well, I think I ended up getting a first print trade of year one instead.
Okay.
So it all worked out.
I remember that one. Mm-hmm. I remember you had that, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was okay. Jessica didn't have a whole lot to do in the book.
I didn't love the art in it.
Yeah, I forget who drew this issue.
Yeah,
I'm not that concerned about it. But yeah, it wasn't the best.
I have it here. Well, it'll take me a second, but the Green Lanterns book was drawn by I'm talking to Phil Time. It was Neil Edwards.
Oh, okay. I mean, it wasn't hard. It just wasn't the best.
It wasn't great.
Superman.
I read Superman. So I liked it, but I feel like this arc started off so strong and so enjoyable, and it kind of diminished with each following issue. And you know, Colin's point was this is setting up what's to come, and it does a great job of that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the arc should still stand. You know, on its own as well, and I feel like this ending was kind of a lame ending for what started off as such a good, interesting story arc. Which one? Superman.
Oh yeah. There was. Yeah. I like the homage to was it Final Crisis or Crisis on Infinite Earths with the Flash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was.
Yeah,
good.
There were a lot of things. It wasn't super great.
Yeah.
Issue, but I enjoyed it. I'm still enjoying it, and
yeah,
like there were a lot of like cool moments in it. Just Carrick. Overall, I felt it.
But I like the end. The end was very interesting, especially what Mr. Oz said. Little things like, you know, you were the wrong person at the wrong time. Yeah. Like, little things like that. It was like just intriguing to go, okay. Very Johnsian, where, you know, it's this is playing into something bigger.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. But yeah, it certainly it wasn't like, if that was the end of a book, you'd be like, what? But clearly, it's just the next step, the next issue. So,
yeah.
No problems with that. I have no problems with that. Felt more like, let's say, like Claremont X-Men, where back in like the heyday, back in like, you know, the 130 issues around there, you didn't really have arcs. It was just the next issue and then the next issue. So, some things kept going, some things ended, things like that. So, I think that's kind of what it felt. That one main part story ended.
Yeah, but more I guess continuing. It's just that the first issue was so interesting, and the following two issues just weren't
as interesting. Yeah. I hear you. I did like the second one. I'm thinking about showing some of the other, like, especially
Etrigan,
but also. The one where they were all villains, but like in armor. Yeah, I thought that was a really neat group. And I liked that he was touching on all those that kind of Morrison kind of set up. So it was nice that we got the tease in the first one, and cool, then the second one really kind of followed through. And this one did, too, in the sense of they got out of it. I love the sound ship and things like that, and taking all these little things from Morrison that he threw out there.
Yeah.
So I liked a lot of it. But I understand what you're saying, but I see what they're doing as well. So it was enjoyable. It was worth your $3.
It wasn't. Yes. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
No, there hasn't been a bad Superman issue yet.
No.
Yeah, the thing, Superman has been so good
that this wasn't. Yeah, this
these
didn't reach
these
those
past ones. Two, I think, were the first kind of like dip, and it just you know, it disappointed me because the first issue of this really had me excited.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So it just left me a little disappointed.
You're just a big Captain Carrot fan. Closet Captain Carrot fan. Who knew?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Green Arrow.
I really liked Green Arrow. I love the art in this book.
Yeah.
Who did this one?
Juan Ferreyra.
Okay.
Well, I know it's been Juan Ferreyra in the Otto. Somebody.
Otto Schmidt.
Otto Schmidt, yeah. Actually, no. Otto Schmidt did this one.
Juan Ferreyra did the cover, then.
He did the cover, yeah.
Okay.
Because that's what I thought, too, was Juan Ferreyra
did the cover,
and
you're right.
I looked on the inside, and it was Otto Schmidt.
Yeah, the cover is gorgeous. There's that half Green Arrow, half the Dark Archer.
Now, I must have missed the last issue, or I didn't get around to reading or something, because I was a little lost at the beginning there. Like, Emmy is back, and now she's...
She showed up at the very end of the last one.
Okay, yeah, then that must have been what I missed.
Yeah, the very end of the last one, and kind of saved them.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's back, and they found out that the chief is kind of on their side. The one thing I did not care for in this issue is when they were engaged in that battle with, you know, Nodding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so dumb when he was like, you know, I forget what the exact dialogue was, but whenever they, you know, made a comment like that they had him beat. And he's like, oh, yeah, check his pockets. There's a gift there for you.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's like, why would you tell them that there's that you put grenades in his pockets? Why wouldn't you just let it,
just let it go off. Although, if he's holding it, it wouldn't go off anyway.
But, like, what?
No, I just wish it. Top tweet.
Oh. Yeah, like, I hate the dumb, you know, here's a villain who's about to win, except he's in a, you know,
he's gonna monologue
what he just did, and then they're like, oh, they're on a 90-second delay, or whatever, or 30-second
delay. Yeah, 30-second delay.
So then they just throw him to him, and he gives this look, and boom, they're all gone.
Yeah.
So that part was a bit dumb, but overall, I've loved this series.
Yeah,
This is your last issue, right?
I think it's going to be, or I'll go to trade on this, just because I haven't had time to read everything. I didn't want to, but
it's tough.
And it's not a dislike. It's just, you know, when I'm picking out what I'm reading, that one generally falls to the back, not because I don't like it, but because I'm liking other things more.
This is one of the first ones I read. This week I didn't start my books till this weekend because, right out, like on Thursday, I think, or maybe Wednesday night, I decided that I wanted to read some trades that I had.
Okay.
So I was like, if I wait until after I read my books, it's not going to happen. So I'll read them first, and then I'll be motivated to read the rest of my books quickly because of the podcast.
Yeah.
So I read the last two, or I shouldn't say last two because there's one more that I don't have yet, but the trades that ended the Exo Manowar series.
Okay. And the last one I read was Nightwing.
I read Nightwing. I actually like this.
This is another one where I think I'm going to go to trade on this. It was fine, but it, I don't know. There's something about it.
Ray, we're worried about the snow, man. Look outside.
A little weird. They did at the very end where this is what I wanted to say, but here's what actually happened. And I thought that was clever. You know, when they did that in the first issue of this arc, when he was doing his interview.
Mm-hmm.
I
thought here it fit, though. I thought it worked out.
No, and especially because of what it was, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because you could tell there was clearly some sort of, like, romantic tension between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see him, you know, not coming out and just saying it, like, throwing all the cards on the table like that, so it kind of worked out.
Yeah, it's only on the TV shows where you show your identity to everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Why even bother wearing a mask, man?
Yeah. It's frustrating because he shows identity all the time to people who he shouldn't. This applies to the comics, too, or people he shouldn't. But then someone who he should, he doesn't. Like in the Flash comic where he showed his identity to the one female speedster, in the first arc so quickly, but then he won't tell Wally who he is.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But no, I like this. I thought this was a fitting end to this arc.
The end where there's apparently someone wearing the red Nightwing costume.
Yeah.
But he has longer
hair.
Yeah, he has like the mullet going on.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that, but, you know, again, if I'm not reading it or I'm not getting to it, because this is another one. I must not have read the issue before, because when the book started, I'm like, okay, this isn't making a lot of sense.
Oh, so you didn't realize, like, Mr. Nice was the bad guy?
No, and then...
The last issue is where...
Detective Sabota, like, where did that come from?
See you, Tim.
Bye, Tim. We'll miss you. Yeah, last issue is where he went to go save the mayor and found out there was someone there that was dressed up like him as Robin.
Okay.
And that's when he discovered it was that Mr. Nice and the Defacer, is that her name?
Yeah.
She came and kind of, you know, saved his ass. Proved she was a hero after all.
Not like, what's the other gorilla?
Gorilla Grimm?
Yeah.
But no, I like this idea of him being, in Bloodhaven and having his own...
Yeah.
Stories away from
Batman, yeah. and you know, that's fine,
and it works. It makes sense because with Detective we see Batman and he has his team, so it's good to show why Dick isn't around, why he's not part of.
Well, and, you know, the other thing is, Dick has already been Batman.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he obviously handled the mantle quite well. And to have, you know, him with Batman, not that, you know, they can't work together, but, mm-hmm. you know, dude, I've been in your shoes. Don't you know, don't talk down to me at this point. You know, I'm not Robin anymore. I've been the Bat.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, with him off on his own, you know, he's clearly quite capable of, you know, taking care of anything that needs to happen.
Yeah.
But he is a different Batman, or, you know, mm-hmm. he's his own person. His personality is very different than Bruce's. So that's all I read.
That's all you read. So I read Flintstones, number 8. And again, this every month, this series continues to be excellent. Each issue seems to tackle some sort of issue that's, you know, currently a topic in current society.
It's funny, I had somebody who's been reading this, and I recommended Prez, and he came in today, and he said, loved it.
Yeah.
It's a great recommendation. Thank you. I never would have picked that up.
So this issue is focusing on, like, gender equality issues, and they were focusing on it by looking at, like, the, you know, differences between the hunters and gatherers and how they, you know, have been treated throughout their history, and how the hunters, even though they brought in, like, far less resources, it was, you know, looked at as more of a, you know, like, what they were doing was more sexy, and it was something that people really admired them for and fawned over, you know, these, you know, big hunters coming back with even just a small amount of game, even though the gatherers collected more, you know, berries and whatnot than the hunters brought in. And it was just showing how the hunters went on to be, you know, the rich people in Bedrock, and the mayor, because the mayor is that big, like, barbarian guy, and how they try to pull in celebrities to, you know, make them seem more powerful, and even though there's not really anything tied to their accomplishments, but because they have some celebrity endorsement or whatever, they, you know, are looked at as being qualified. And had the mayor was bringing in Stony Danza to endorse his war that he wanted to try and get funding for by defunding a children's hospital.
Nice.
And it was showing some of Wilma's backstory and how she ran away from home because the, you know, gatherers, hunters, and, like, her tribe ended up settling on this farm after they realized that the gatherers were, you know, bringing in so much more and there wasn't as much game to hunt. And then someone tried to barter her off, like she was property, in exchange for some farm animals, and that's when she ran away. But it was a good issue, and all these issues are just so timely with things that are currently going on. And it makes me very excited for Mark Russell's Snagglepuss book, which, again, a character I couldn't give two craps about, but because he's writing it, that I will
give it a shot.
I'll gladly read it, and I'm sure I'll love it. And that's the thing, like, all of his books so far are not properties that I had any interest in reading. Right. His, you know, his name is what is
you
know,
selling
you
mean
the Bible. You had no desire to read the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible. What else did I read? Shade, the Changing Girl. So again, this has been really good. This is a gorgeous book. The art is very unique and kind of trippy. The first issue I think was a bit more difficult to follow. I was good, but it was just very, very abstract. But after that, it turned into more of a story, and she's trying to escape Earth and get back to her home planet because she's feeling the madness kind of take her over. And she found out that the person that she's inhabited was kind of a jerk.
Yep.
And the reason why she was in a coma whenever she was able to take over her body is because she was a jerk to all of her friends, and when she was in trouble and drowning, her friends kind of just, you know, let her go in hopes that she would just die. So she's having trouble navigating through everyday life because she's not sure who actually is her friend and who just, you know, will backstab her. And she thinks she has a plan to try and get back to her planet, but it doesn't quite work. And then it ends with sort of a struggle with the essence or the soul of the original girl. Looks like she is, you know, fighting her for control of the host body, I guess. And then back on her planet, they're still trying to figure out, you know, who has the coat and how to get the coat back. But it's good. It's been a really good, really good book. How do these young animal books sell for you?
They're doing well. They're solid. Like, you were looking at Cave Carson.
Yeah.
And I think it was like I get in like 25 copies, but right now that's a solid number for a book.
That's not bad.
So I mean, I wish it was more, but I mean, this is such a niche thing.
I wonder what they do nationally.
I mean, I wish I had a Vertigo book ever do that much.
That's fine. Vertigo books do that?
No, none of them. Like Sandman Overture did, but beyond that, no. Like
that was
Fables
unique.
Was never a big, you know, that was like a 6-7 copy book.
Hmm.
So yeah, most Vertigo's really, because it was funny, I was talking to somebody about Why the Last Man, and they're like, you know, this was a, you know, great seller, and I'm like, I never sold more than 2 or 3 copies. Now, I only came in at the end, I was open for maybe the last year of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or so, but it was like 2 or 3 copies. That's all I ever
sold.
So that's why I had no idea how to order Saga when it came out. I thought, you know, 40 copies was huge, but not nearly enough. But it's like, oh, it's Brian K. Vaughan. I'm like, that's great. Ex Machina did 2 copies. Why did 3? You know, where are we going here?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, but I'm thrilled with the way Young Animal. Oh, wow. Real big detour. Not to interrupt you.
That's fine.
But one of the things Comics Pro had us do was they gave us a survey to take. And it was funny because I was doing it on my phone. And it's like, oh, it'll just take a couple minutes. Well, it took a long time. But it went through each company. And this was something they were going to send anonymously. They weren't going to tell us who said it. But to the publishers, so to give them like pre-meeting feedback. And it was basically, what are they doing good? What could they do better? And, you know, how would you... you know, help them.
Have a lemon tea.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah, I don't want it, but I want a tea.
I will do it when I get back. I will do a reorder. And it was just very interesting going through, thinking about it and going through things. And the one thing I said to DC, I said, I'm, you know, absolutely loving all the imprints because Young Animal is doing great for me. The Hanna-Barbera stuff is doing great for me. I'm really looking forward to the Wildstorm.
That starts
so,
next week, right?
Yeah. So it's just, it's great to have all these varieties of things all doing very
Speaking
well.
Speaking of that, I had very little interest in it.
Yep. Did you read?
Until that backup,
yep.
You know,
I'm
article.
Please read the backup in any of the DC books, because I think...
Yeah, with the letter that Warren Ellis posted, that Jim Lee sent him, like, that right there, him talking about his plans for it, got me super interested in the characters in the books and the directions.
Exactly. I think I said it to Dan Degnan. I said, you know, I was kind of meh, you know, I like this. And then I read that, and now I can't wait. I'm very excited. So, hopeful. And it's nice because I was able to order
a
lot.
It feels like he has a plan.
Yeah. I was able to order a lot because it's returnable. So, I'm very much looking forward to that. So it was just interesting, and then what I said about Marvel was...
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot?
No, I forget exactly what... Like I said, I said as far as a positive, I said the books that aren't tying into anything else are doing well. The Visions, the Moon Knights are being very well received. The other books, not so much. And I said one of the... My big... You know, several big problems. One was don't promote so far ahead. I said you're promoting stuff 6 months out... that I can't even order.
Yeah, we forget about it.
Right. And then by the time it comes out, people are like, wait, this is just coming out. I thought this already came out. I said one other little thing was send promo posters before the books come out. When they come out the week after the book, it's completely useless.
Yeah.
And I realize that may be more of a Diamond thing, but I'm sure it's a case of they're not getting them to Diamond in time. And I totally forgot we got 3 in yesterday because I just set them aside. But they were probably for books that came out, you know, this week or last week. And... So little things, but it was funny. Like
the whole idea of a promo poster is to have
promote
it beforehand.
But it was funny when talking, Image. I forget what I said, but I did. And then Dark Horse is like, "What would you do? You know, what could they do to improve?" And I'm just like, "I don't know. I don't know what to tell Dark Horse to do." So it was just kind of funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, not every there.
not everybody is going to have a book that's going to sell 100 copies. And Dark Horse lost Star Wars,
right.
So they kind of lost their...
But, like, the Alien stuff has been doing really well for me, the Predator Alien stuff, but the rest of it is just kind of, okay, it's a little...
Yeah, but when you say really
book.
Good, what's really good for Dark Horse? 10 copies?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
When but they when they had the Star that, Wars yeah. license, though...
Rebels did really well. No, Rebels was quite good.
Rebels was really good.
Right, but I mean, that was, like, 16 to 20 copies.
Okay.
Lady Killers was doing well, but that kind of has gone missing. But it was just funny, interesting
doing
that.
The second... volume of it isn't doing as well?
It's doing okay, but we haven't had an issue for 3 or 4 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's all. It's just a case of we just haven't seen it for a while. Yeah, for some reason they're taking this big break.
It's called The Afterlife with Archie Rowell.
Yeah, hopefully not. Well, and I noticed that a lot with Image. Image is doing a lot of these big breaks. Like people, and the other thing is there going to be more? Like Black Monday Murders.
Mm-hmm.
Four issues came out. Now we've had a trade. And Tim did look up, yeah, number 5 is in the current previews. It's like, okay, so that's not even going to ship for another 2 months. It's like, you can't take these big 3-4 month breaks.
Okay. Is that Judge Dredd book done with IDW, do you know?
I think there's an annual coming I know of, and I think there might be some more. And you know, I was just thinking about something, but Sex Criminals ships next
week. I thought that book was done.
And it's been forever since that one came out. So, yeah, it's not a good thing only because there's so much stuff coming out, you go away that long.
People forget.
Yeah, or they're like, you know, I wasn't enjoying it that much. If it was coming out every month, you'd have it.
Yeah.
But it's easy when they go away for, you know, 10 months to ignore it.
Yeah, so. And that's happened with a couple Image books that I was reading, like Ringside. It took a big break, and then when it came back, the first issue just wasn't the same quality. Okay. And you know, if I gotta wait 4 months, I want something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Southern Bastards took, but Southern Bastards is really well
right.
written. It's
but
really
look how many I have left on the shelf, and that will show you how much of a drop there was.
I think
I'd probably have 8 to 10 copies, and that's how many less I sold than I did of the last issue.
Okay.
So that's not good, and that's just because of the break. And
yeah.
It's very hard to plan for that. It's hard to go, oh, I sold 16 copies of the last issue. I better order 12 of the next one. It goes against, you know, everything that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it makes it really hard. And I'm having a lot of that problem with Marvel stuff where number ones will sell out. So I order generally like the same as I ordered in number one, and then I sell two. It's like, you know, number one for some reason had buzz or something, or, you know, was hot.
It was the number one.
And
yeah.
But it's certainly not uniform. Like, I sold, what did I say, 3 or 4 copies of Kingpin today. It's not very, not all whoop.
Well,
so.
But, and, you know, the other thing is, if you read number one and it's a steaming pile, you're not going to come back for
right.
number two. And, you know, we said this before, you don't want to judge a book by its first issue necessarily, but... If it's really that bad, then...
I gave the Finch's Wonder Woman 2 issues before I finally had to jump ship.
What was that one? What was the problem with that one?
It was a vegetative injustice.
Okay, back to your review. I apologize for hijacking.
No, you're fine. Aquaman 16. So this is the first issue of a new arc after the whole
now,
Atlantis
just
versus...
All my copies were damaged. And
I was going to say...
I'm not getting replacements till next week.
Yeah.
So I'll have 2 issues
okay.
next week.
Yeah,
well, I
didn't get it.
I won't spoil anything since most people haven't gotten it, but it was
Josh
just...
Josh grabbed a variant.
Yeah.
Okay.
The variant was really nice looking, too.
Hmm.
It was a quieter issue. It was rebuilding, focused mostly in Amnesty Bay, and trying to repair all the damage, and he, you know, Atlantis is helping out with all the cities, but he wanted to focus on his, you know, hometown first. And it was just a lot of interactions with, you know, characters from the town that we've seen before, and you know, talk with him and Mira finally, you know, confronting the whole issue of her not being able to marry him because of the prophecies of what will happen, things like that. And there is a, you know, new looming threat of someone we don't really know anything about, but seem to have some abilities that are linked to Arthur's telepathy. And they're using that to try and get leverage over him. So, but it was good overall. I mean, I like the a quieter issue every now and then to kind of break things up. And the last one I mentioned is Faith, number 8. So,
did Joe Archer showing up in his glasses and him and Faith getting it on?
No, it did not. But it had her kind of being very unsure of herself because she's haunted by these ghosts of everyone that she kind of let down.
Okay.
So we see her parents, who she feels guilty about, their death for some reason, and Charlene from, you know, the Harbinger series, who died. And she thinks that she's, you know, being haunted because she failed them on calls her death, but then she calls a friend of hers to come over, and that person sees the ghost as well. So then she thought maybe she was just imagining it, but
once someone else,
once someone else sees it, then they realize that someone is actually setting her up, and they find this device in her apartment that is just projecting these images.
Okay.
And it turns out to be the girl... You weren't reading Faith at all, right?
No.
I think Adam's reading it. The girl who was dating Torque, Faith's ex, and we saw her really quickly whenever they were at, you know, Torque's house.
In Harbinger Renegades?
Was it in maybe it was in Renegades, because he was filming his reality show there, or whatever. It was like the girl in the bikini by the pool with him. But we find out that she's actually some famous actress, but she's a Vine plantling, like one of the Vine ones that are infiltrated the humans. They look like the humans, but they're still the Vine species. And she is trying to get revenge on Faith for kind of ruining her life. And it ties back, this is where it was kind of cool, that it ties back to the first arc in this series where Faith was up against her first kind of, you know, arch nemesis. It was that actor who always, you know, wanted to be a villain but kept getting cast as like the hero and things.
Okay.
So he finds her and tries to recruit her to help him take down Faith, which we saw after that first arc that there was some bigger plan that he had set in motion for Faith, but it kind of fell to the wayside. So it's nice to see that finally revisited and finish up that thread. But it was good. That was it. It was a smaller week.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a smaller week.
I enjoyed it.
I only really have a couple more. Planet of the Apes, Green Lantern. I really hadn't read any of the other events, and I just picked this up on a whim. Justin Jordan wrote it, and when we talked to him I didn't realize he wrote it. Yeah, I have more coming in tomorrow. But being that we talked to him, it was just one of those, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, I am, it's a Boom book, so, you know, I am a Boom fan. I'm like, okay, I'll give this one a shot.
He was a nice guy whenever we talked
I thought it was fantastic. It was, basically, it was the apes, that, if you've ever seen the movie, that's all you need to know, because it's Dr. Cornelius, and I forget Dr. the lady's Zayas. Name, Zayas. They make reference to the head military guy, the
Zod.
No, I forget the name exactly, but it was a name, as soon as you hear it, you know it.
That was from, that was the Tim Burton one.
But basically, a ring has appeared, and it, like, has, like, an impact crater that it came from somewhere, and they find it, and they're like, well, we need to give this to, you know, the military leader. And, Roddy McDowell, I think, puts it on, and when he puts it on, it triggers something, and it blasts a hole through time, because it's in America, it's just at a different time. And basically, Sinestro and I think Hal Jordan were in conflict, and it blasts and like sucks them there. And it you know, when they first arrive, they land on the beach. There's the Statue of Liberty, you know, it's submerged and everything. And you know, it just hit all the right notes without being like Star Wars-y. Mm-hmm. You know, no one, you know, at no point they didn't say you damn dirty ape. You know,
so it wasn't like cheesy or campy.
No, it was
that's
very.
I was worried it was going to be.
Yeah, no,
because that's how Dave described the Planet of the Apes Star Trek crossover.
So, but no, I enjoyed it.
Directive.
Yeah, I enjoyed the primate directive. I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this very much. And like I said, I sold out. I have more coming in. Blood Blister number 1.
That's a Black Mask.
No, right? It's Aftershock.
Okay.
Interesting. It's drawn by Tony Daniel, which was really cool, and written by, I want to say, Paul Cornell. And I don't know exactly what's going on with it. You don't quite totally understand who the main character is. Is he a demon? Is he something? You don't quite understand. He has like this, almost like a big zit on his arm, and it's like acid's coming out of it. Yeah, so it's a blood blister. But he's like confronting people, and you can't tell if he's like trying to bargain, you know, with them things. I don't remember everything, but I just remember reading that going, I have no idea how to explain this. It was interesting, but there was no neat explanation. Kind of like I was talking to somebody else who had gotten, he was adding loose ends to his pole. And that was the guy who's drawing Southern Bastards.
Jason
Latour did it. And it's like it's a Southern Gothic noir thing.
Yeah.
And that first issue was just all over the place. It was good, but there was no way. It's definitely part one of a four-part thing, and a four-part thing is going to make sense. But this little bit at the beginning was very confusing. So it was good. I want to see where it's going. And then the last one I read was Bullseye number one, which was okay. I sold out. I have more coming in tomorrow, too. But basically, it's Bullseye going and meeting with his agents and getting his next hit. And that's all it is. And then the FBI was investigating his last job, and all of a sudden the boss tells the one female agent, you know what, no, we're...
Let it go.
Something happened, and it was, you know, let it go, we're not investigating this anymore. And it kind of made her mad, so she decides to go on and investigate it on her own. So yeah, but it definitely reads like it's a mini-series, you know, even though they're not calling it a mini, this isn't
going to... It's a stealth mini.
It may go 10, but it's not going to go, you know, real long. It was fine, there was a little backup story by Marv Wolfman. But, you know, it's Bullseye. The only thing I didn't like, and I'm not... It did make reference to the fact that he died and brought back and all these things that have happened to him. He had the thing in his forehead, like, in the movie, and I don't remember them really doing that in the comic. Now, I'm not super familiar with Bullseye, other than I know him from Daredevil, you know, way back when. But he had, you know, the
like Colin Farrell did in the movie.
Yeah, the impression in his forehead, which just seemed really odd. What?
That writer's tweets...
Uh-huh. Is it getting more?
Well,
he's
maybe,
off the rails.
Maybe you saw this one earlier and said something about it.
But that's what I was showing Josh earlier. It was another comic store
my new book,
making reference to it.
My new book, How to Appear to Be a Hit While Actually Making Less Money, can ship as many times a month as you need.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah. So, that's all I read. So, look at that. We're going to get out of here before the snow.
We're out of here before 9 o'clock?
This is crazy.
Oh, man.
Well, what's
Adam,
coming
Dave,
next week?
You guys...
You don't come back. No. So,
what's coming next week, Colin?
Nice week. Really good, solid week with a lot of books. I'm very excited about it. We have Aquaman, like I mentioned, we have 16 and 17 coming in next week. Batman number 17. Hopefully it's, if not as much fun, at least as interesting as the last one. Batman Turtles Adventure number 4. Batwoman Rebirth. So we're getting the beginning of this.
Looking
or spinning
forward to
out. Yeah. Especially when I saw Ben Oliver's doing this one.
Wait, which one?
Batwoman.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this. Clone Conspiracy number 5. Originally, I thought this was the end, because 5 of 5, but there's an Omega. So Forever War number 1. This is like an outer space space battle from Titan. God Country. I'm getting Second Prince number 1, as well as issue 2. That was good. I like that a lot. Invincible 33. Now, this is the 25-cent, or 133. This is the 25-cent one of that, so if you ever want to try Invincible, I'll have a bunch for only a quarter. Mighty Thor number 2. The first part of the Asgard Shi'ar War was quite interesting, and so this is the second part of that. Monsters Unleashed number 3. Mother Panic number 3. Nightwing. I'm getting 14 and 15 on this one, too, because my 14s came in damaged. That's the one bad thing
Yeah, because I got that one.
Right, well, I had like enough for most of my subs.
Okay.
But so if you're listening and you get it off the shelf, they were all damaged. But that's the one bad thing about the double shipping is damage
when you get it back,
coming.
You're
so I'm getting doubles. Two at once. This was a fun one. Today we got a book called Reich Number 2, and next week I'm getting issues 1 and 3. It's like okay.
So how's that?
Yeah,
work?
You can't ship them in order.
Can't find these things, Colin.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. Savage number 4, the end of that little miniseries. 7 to Eternity Trade is coming in. That's a $9.99 trade.
4 comes out already next week.
Savage 4, yeah.
Yeah.
But the 7 to Eternity
Trade. 3 just came out. I think I just talked about it last week.
Well, 2 weeks ago would have been last month, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Sex Criminals number 60, I mentioned. This is coming back after a very long hiatus. Super Sons number 1 next week, which I am thrilled about. And Superman number 17 also is coming out. Uncanny Inhumans.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Look what someone wrote to him.
Uncanny Inhumans number 19 and Uncanny X-Men number 18 are both Inhumans versus X-Men tie-ins. And the biggie, Wildstorm number 1. I'm excited about this one coming in. I feel bad. I'm not going to be here next week, so I'm not going to be... I'm probably the only person reading Inhumans versus X-Men, so I'm going to give a little brief review of that one. Very interesting, where both sides seem to be kind of bad, although the X-Men, I give them credit, basically they were taking the main Inhumans off the board by magic was transporting them to Limbo.
The main ones, I'm assuming you mean the
Royal family and stuff, yeah. And the idea was Forge was going to try to contain the gases in a machine that he made.
I thought you talked about this.
Well, that's what happened last issue. And then in this one was interesting because it was Mosaic. And the idea was to have him go in and take over Magneto to try to learn what's going on. And it was basically stay away from anybody, any blondes or redheads, meaning Jean Grey or Emma Frost. So he shows up.
It's not fun.
And he does take over Magneto, and Magneto eventually forces him out, and then he takes over young Cyclops and flies away in a Blackbird. But the end was very, very interesting. Yeah, spoilers, but basically had him talking to a bunch of the new Inhumans, and Ms. Marvel's there, and he goes, I overheard them talking, and they say they only have a matter of days before the atmosphere is saturated with the Terrigen Mist that all of Earth will be uninhabitable for mutants. It's not just a case that they have to avoid the cloud. It will finally dissipate into the entire atmosphere. And so and he's like, basically, they're doing this for their own survival. And at the end, Ms. Marvel kind of goes, well, wait, then who are the good guys? You know, saying maybe our people aren't the good guys if these guys are basically doing this to survive. That's why they're taking us on to try to make the Earth livable for them. So that was interesting. Because that was one of those things, as I was reading, I'm like, neither side is necessarily good, because the X-Men are talking about taking out the Inhumans, and they do have a reason, and the Inhumans don't want the gases to go away because they want more new Inhumans. Yeah. But it was just interesting where all of a sudden it's like, you know, neither side is necessarily good in this battle. So that was just, that was an interesting twist at the end, which I enjoyed, you know, as opposed to, you know, just kind of going on. The one interesting thing, and the one problem I have with Marvel promoting so far ahead is, and especially like in the new previews, we have X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold, and we have the new Inhumans books where the Inhumans are leaving Earth, and we have new so we kind of know Earth's going to be inhabitable.
Yeah.
We kind of know how this book is going to end just because of their promotion.
Maybe those are taking place in a biodome.
Ooh, maybe, probably not.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's one of those, why not have the event,
Stephen Baldwin?
But why not have the follow-up to the event start a month or two after, so that you're not spoiling things? You know, I don't, it just...
You're leaving money on the table, Colin.
Well, maybe, but it's just, I feel like the impact of this event is kind of negated by knowing what's coming after. So, I don't know. So, like I said, I won't be here next week. Still always reachable. You can reach me. I won't be in the store. Well, I will be the rest of this week. But the website's PittsburghComics.com, Facebook Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics, Instagram. I'm having fun putting the image things because I'm getting tons of likes and comments on Instagram.
Is it far more sales?
Than I get? Not so much per se, but like I had a bunch of image guys in and they were paying a little closer attention because, oh, I can get extra points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it certainly, you know, hasn't been, oh, I've, you know, I'm seeing my image sales triple or anything like that. But it's just nice seeing all the comments and stuff when I post the pictures on Instagram, far more than I get on Facebook or Twitter. So I do like Instagram in that regard.
Do you think you guys will do a podcast next week?
Yeah, neither of us will be here, so it'll be up to you know, you and Dave and Adam.
No, it'd be me.
What?
It would be me.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll work.
Yeah.
So up to you guys. If you don't, that's fine.
Probably
so
not.
There definitely won't be one going up next week. So, you know, I won't be able to make it remotely.
Take your mic with you and do an on the Road podcast. That would some be, of your, yes.
I could. You know, we talked about doing that last year with Todd, who actually called in after last year.
Because last year we did a podcast, we were gone, so we had it. But
right.
if we're not going to do one, just see we're not going to do one and take it with you. And
sure.
Maybe you'll...
Yeah.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll do that. Because I won't be rooming with Todd, but I can certainly sit down. Yeah, maybe even with Jermaine, because he's been trying to get his podcast up and running again.
Well, see, so, yeah, if you can get the Valiant guys drunk and maybe drop some cool...
Oh, I could do that. Getting them drunk wouldn't be hard.
Do you want a shot glass?
Yeah, I mean...
I'll take one for the team.
Orange whip, three orange whips. So,
Now I gotta go home and watch that.
Sorry.
Bastard.
I'm a jerk. Carrie Fisher's best role. So, Josh!
Me?
You do it.
Well, that is a podcast.
Okay. We probably won't talk to you next week, but we'll talk to you soon.
Book club, sign up.
Yep, book club. We'll see you. Bye.